Hello, Michael. Hello, Ernesto. Today,
Hello.
We have a question that says, there are people who have not structured their ego sufficiently. Let's say it is very unstructured and can be seen by disordered actions, constant tendency to feel inadequate, inability to set limits for children, economic scarcity as a result of this self-concept of inability and inadequacy. The facts of their lives show that they have serious difficulties in finding work or dealing with situations that would not be so confronting for others. To what extent is it important to develop an ego, overcoming one's own ego limits, overcoming one's own conditioning, etc., not in the form of improving the character, but precisely by not following or feeding the impulses of I can't, I'm not worth it, I'm incapable, etc.?
Okay. When we feel I can't do this, I'm not capable, I'm unworthy, or whatever, that is another kind of identification. Identification with anything other than ourselves is ego. In Sanskrit, there's a nice word, abhimanam, which is used a lot in Vedanta. Abhimanam is the very nature of ego. But there's no one word in English that captures the sense in which the word abhimanam is used. To understand what is meant by abhimanam, it means both attachment and identification. It is the attachment born of identification. Abhimanam also means pride and arrogance and so on, but coming down to the basic meaning in the sense in which it's used in Vedanta, abhimanam is that the nature of ego is abhimanam, because ego always identifies itself as I am this body, I am this mind, I am this. That when we identify with something, when we take something to be ourselves, we are thereby attached to it. So abhimana means the attachment born of the identification, or the identification resulting in attachment. That is the sense. So even to think, I am incapable, I'm a hopeless person, I can't survive in this world is too difficult for me, I'm totally inadequate, I'm the worst type of person, I'm unfit for anything. These are all identifications. Why should we identify ourselves as this or that? Whether we think, oh, I'm very capable, I can manage in this world, I can survive very well in this world, or to think, I'm very incapable, I can't manage, both are equal. They're the same fundamental error of abhimana, identifying ourselves with something that we are not. What are we? We are just that fundamental awareness of our own existence. As Bhagavan put it, I am I. We are nothing other than ourselves. So to think I can or I can't, both are the result of abhimana. So the question is, to what extent is it important to develop ego, overcoming one's ego limits? This is not developing ego. If we giving up our identification with as I am this or I am that, it's not developing ego. It is unraveling the ego. It is breaking that knot, that identification, that knot of identification, abhimana granti, that knot of identification.
But these people, Michael, I remember one thing that Douglas Harding said, no, that there are too many burrows, too many clouds, you are in a very depressed ego, and you cannot have the power to go through your pure ego to your pure wishness. Sorry. You have not the power to the disidentification, because you are in too many darkness. And if this ego can't go to a more high level of security, of trusting himself, or resilient or all of that, how can this ego, if these people, this person maybe can have a job to and can put the limits for his boy, can anything, no? How can this ego go to what he really are? And when this person have the very, very darkness to identify what I am.
I understand what you're saying. It's a matter of willingness. If we don't want to know what we are, then we can't know what we are. We need to be willing to try to know what we are. Bhagavan has said in Nana, in the 10th paragraph, he says, however great a sinner one may be, if instead of lamenting, oh, I'm a sinner, how can I be saved? If we cling firmly, if we are steadfast in self-attentiveness, we will certainly be saved. So whether we consider ourselves to be a sinner, whether we consider ourselves to be very weak, whether we consider ourselves to be, whatever we consider ourselves to be, it doesn't matter. It does matter if we lament, oh, I can't do this, I'm not worthy, I'm incapable, this isn't for me. If you think like that, of course, you're setting limitations on yourself. The thing is, whatever state of mind we're in, whether whether a pure state of mind or an impure state of mind, whether in a state of joy or a state of depression, whatever may be our state of mind, what is the one thing that is constant in all states of mind? What is the one thing in common, for example, between someone like Hitler or Stalin and their contemporary Bhagavan? They all lived at the same time, but in our view, or Stalin and Hitler, they're worst type of people. They murdered so many millions of people. They are really the worst type of people. Whereas Bhagavan lived a very saintly life. Bhagavan is, of course, to be highly revered. But there's one thing they all have in common, and we also have in common. We are all aware I am. So that fundamental awareness I am is available to us in all states of mind. There's a verse in Akshamlai, Kirmel Ingum Kilaroli Manien Kirmeye Pase Arunachala. The literal meaning of that is Kirmel Ingum. That means below, above, and everywhere. Killer Oli Manien, that gem of light which shines above, below, and everywhere. Kimeye Pase, remove my lowness, is the literal meaning. But when, as Murugana, for example, has explained in his commentary, though Bhagavan talks about above, below, and everywhere, we can take it literally true. Yes, that light of awareness is shining everywhere. But it also has there's a deeper implication. Whether we are in a very low state of mind or a very lofty state of mind, in all states of mind, everywhere, but what is that gem of light that is shining in all states of mind? It is that light of I am, that light of awareness of our own existence, that is available to the sinner and saint alike. The difference between the sinner and saint is the saint likes to hold on to that light. The saint likes to hold on to that light. The sinner is preoccupied with other desires. But essentially, we are all the same. Essentially, that fundamental awareness of our own existence. So if a Hitler or Stalin wanted to, they could turn within and merge within themselves. They may not want to, because if you've got a very strong outward-going mind, an evil-minded person is a person who is strongly under the sway of very bad vasanas. So such a person, as a general rule, will not want to turn within. So they do their bad actions, but the option is there for us, even in the lowest of low states of mind, the option is there for us to turn within if we want to.
Yes,
we always have that freedom to turn within.
That is the point, no?
That is the point. Yes, I know. I'm not trying to trivialize the problem. That's why you said the vasanas are a problem. So long as we've got great enthusiasm to go outwards, we won't be inclined to go within. But the opportunity is there for us, whether we are the worst of worst sinners or the greatest of saints. The opportunity is there for all of us. It's just if we're a terrible sinner, we most probably won't take that opportunity. But the opportunity is always there. That is, God or Bhagavan is always making himself available to us. He's available to each and every one of us. He's available to the sinner as much as to the saint, because he's shining in the heart of each one of us as I. So all we need to do is to turn within.
We always talk about the being in a very depressed state, a very low state or something, but actually it's as being in a lofty state or an exalted state of mind is actually as hard to turn within.
Yes, exactly.
As much as depression, because when you everything is going perfect and euphoric, we don't say there's no problem. There's a problem too. I mean, different nature.
Being in any state of mind is a problem, but the mind itself is a problem. Yeah. So whether we have feelings of inadequacy or feelings of, I'm very capable, I'm very good at this self-investigation, I can easily conquer this ego. If you have such feelings of pride, it's equally a problem. Let's give up the idea whether we are neither capable nor incapable. The truth is we are. That is all. I am. That alone is true. I am this or I am that is false. If you want to identify I with anything, the only true identity, as Bhagavan said, is I am I. That is the only, that is the truth.
Yes. The other day, Sanjay shared us a reflection, no, or remembering, no, that some people with depression wants to go out of this identify with ego, and if because they want they, as Bhagavan said, no, in this verse that you remember, no problem, that you are the worst sinner, no, the grace save you, no, but sometimes or more than sometimes, no, usually, yeah, no? Some people speak with us, no, and tell us that they don't, they have the like to Atmavichara, but compares with the like to recreate the idea of the ego in himself, no, of the big team, of all of that is very 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 little like, no.
This is the problem we're all up against. It doesn't matter what our vasanas are. That is, some people may have an inclination to feel very inadequate. Some people may have an inclination to feel the opposite, very proud and very, I'm very capable, I can do anything in this world. They are both, feelings of adequacy and inadequacy are both identification. They're both abhimana. They're both, it's the nature of ego to identify ourselves as this or that. All that we need to overcome this is a willingness to follow this path. Okay, many of us, when we come to this path, we like what Bhagavan has taught us. But when we try to put it into practice, we become very clearly aware how strong our vasanas are. So what are we to do? Should we give up and go home? And should we just give up the fight? No, doesn't matter how strong our vasanas are. If we persevere in this path, Bhagavan has assured us we will succeed. So all we need, even if our liking to follow this path is very, very minuscule, very little, how can we increase that liking? Only by trying to follow this path. So we are fortunate. At least we've got a little liking, a little inclination to follow this path. That is Bhagavan's grace. Let us nurture this inclination. Let's try and practice this more and more and more. The more we practice it, the stronger the inclination to practice it will become, and the weaker all other inclinations will become. So it doesn't matter how strong our vasanas are. If we've got even the slightest liking to follow this path, that is sufficient. Let us start.
Yes. Maybe the problem is that the people have not passion, no? And want very, very quickly results.
Yes. Self-realization weekend.
Yeah, or a quick fix.
Intensive retreat, and you get realization after a week, provided you give me $10,000. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, people want all these things, but annihilation of ego doesn't come cheaply. We have to pay a lot more than $10,000. We have to give ourselves completely. So that this is the path of complete renunciation. We need to give up everything. And we need to be, in order to give up everything, including ourselves, we need to be willing to do so. Okay, now I have to be honest, I'm not yet willing to surrender myself. I have to admit. But if I was willing to surrender myself, I would have surrendered myself and the game would be over. So if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit we're not yet willing, or we're not yet sufficiently willing to surrender ourselves. Doesn't matter. The fact that we've been drawn to Bhagavan's path, we have a liking, at least a small liking to try and follow this path. Let us make use of that small liking. Let us begin to follow this. And everything else will be added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So all we need to do is to be earnest in our search, in our endeavor. Our endeavor is to try to be self-attentive, to turn with him more and more and more. Even if we're able to do it only for a few seconds each day, that's a good start. Let us today, 2 seconds, tomorrow, 3 seconds, next day, 4 seconds. Let us be serious about in our perseverance. We need to keep on trying. However much we fail, it doesn't matter. The very fact that we are trying is itself a success. The worst failure is not trying.
Mm-hmm. It's the perseverance, no?
Perseverance, that is the key. That is the key.
I remember when one friend at 17 years old told me, if you save all the day 5 euros, or I don't know the quantity, when you are going to retire, no, when you are 60 or 70 years old, the problem that the people is not determined to this little increase, no? All the day, increasing a little more.
That's the only way to make progress in this path. We just have to persevere. It doesn't matter how strong our vasanas may be. The very fact that we are talking about this subject, the very fact that we are interested in Bhagavan's teaching, means already there is some liking to know what we actually are. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if we had no liking to know what we actually are, when we read, someone who's taught, who am I? Of course I know who I am, I'm Michael, so that's the end of it. What a silly thing. We will just brush it aside. The very fact that we have been captured by this, that we have this fascination to know who am I, means that we've already started on this path. All we have to do, it's continue. It doesn't matter how slow our progress is. We will, if our vasanas are strong, our progress will seem to be slow. But that's only seeming. The very fact that we are following this path is itself a great achievement. Yeah. And it will definitely lead to the annihilation of ego.
Right. So patience is very important.
Yeah. That is, Bhagavan has been so clear about this. Mm-hmm. All that is required is perseverance.
Yeah, I remember some modern guru I used to follow, that he said that many people's questions imply that either I'm not getting some reward out of the path or something. I'm not getting some out of the effort I'm making or something. Yeah. Or it's either that or things aren't going my way. I would think. I mean, if that's, those are expectations, of course, we're going to be frustrated. And
We need to understand that it doesn't matter whether things go our way or not.
Exactly.
What way are we going? We need to go away. That is the thing. That we as ego, we need to be, we need to get out of the way. And we can get out of the way only by investigating ourselves. Because when we look at ourselves, this ego has no substantial existence. So by looking at ourselves, ego will automatically dissolve and disappear because it doesn't actually exist. A ghost may seem to exist so long as you're looking, you're not looking at it directly. If you look at it carefully, there's no ghost at all. Likewise, the snake. The rope that seems to be a snake, if so long as you don't look at it carefully enough, it looks like a rope, a snake. If you look at it carefully, oh, it's just a rope. The snake has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise with ego, all we need to do is to look at it carefully and it will disappear because it doesn't, it never existed in the first place.
Yeah, we have to look it closer and closer and closer.
Yeah, until we actually see what, when we see what we actually are, then only can we, is it true to say there is no ego?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, even now there is no ego, but there seems to be ego. So we shouldn't fool ourselves by saying, oh, there's no ego, still no problem. I can get on with my life. The I who wants to get on with its life is ego.